By the way, hasn't Corey done a great job today? Amen. I appreciate very much the effort that he's put into it and the gift that the Lord's given him. Back a long time ago, when I started the school of preaching, I was coming out of college and had done okay in college for somebody that didn't study any. And I can well remember the first class in the school of preaching, and it was literally the first class. It was the first class of the first class. We were in the first class that began the school of preaching there at White's Ferry Road, and they wanted to make sure that people understood that this wasn't just a glorified Sunday school, and so they made things pretty rough. And I had, for the first time in my life, I had to learn how to study, truly. I came home and told Janice I didn't think I was going to make it. And I'd never had that feeling before in my life. They told us that we were going to be studying Greek and homiletics and hermeneutics and exegesis, and I didn't know what any of those things were. And I was the guy that had to bone up just to know the books of the Bible, you know, in the entrance exam. I knew the New Testament books, but I had to really work on those Old Testament books to be able to write those down. And so I thought, I'm just not going to make it. Well, I did, barely. And that was 40-plus years ago and 4 kids ago. And I've learned a lot since that first day. And I've forgotten a lot also. I've forgotten almost as much as I've learned. I've taken lots of tests, and I've written lots of papers, and I've preached lots of sermons in the last 40-plus years, and I've taught lots of classes. And so I decided that I'm ready to release a personal doctrinal statement to you tonight. And it is, everything that I really need to know, I learned in Sunday school. And let me tell you what I learned, and what I've been learning since then. The first thing is that God is eternally righteous. And I didn't know that. I mean, I knew a little about that. But I didn't really know what that meant. I didn't know how much that impacted my relationship to God. The Bible says this in a number of ways. It says God is light. It says there is none good but God alone. It says the Lord is righteous in all of his ways. And it says it in lots and lots more ways. And I'm still learning, not only that God is righteous, but I'm learning some of the results that come from the fact that he's righteous. God cannot lie because he's righteous. God cannot be tempted with evil. And that takes some thinking about why God can't be tempted with evil. And God cannot coexist with evil. There won't be any sin where God is in heaven. Evil must be punished because God is righteous. He has no choice. And that's good that God is righteous and that he cannot lie, because that means I can depend on everything he says. But it's bad for me that God is righteous and cannot coexist with evil, because I am evil, because I'm a sinner, and because it's not possible for me to go to heaven. And so that's one of the things that I've learned. And I need to be reminded of that, because sometimes we want to dumb God down some. We want to dumb down his righteousness for sure. And we want to make God be something less, someone less than totally righteous. And then another thing I learned in Sunday school is that God is love. And that's the basis of my hope. John 3:16, I've known that verse for as long as I can remember, haven't you? For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's an incredible, incredible thing to know in life. It changes your life to know that God is love. Karl Barth, who is, at least in my opinion, a complicated German theologian, was once asked what he believed was the most profound doctrine of Christianity, and he said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And that brings to my mind, every time I hear that, a story that happened in our, Janice and my and our family's life. Janice's dad was a longtime elder in the church and a pillar in the Lord's church in the area in which he lived, and did lots and lots of good and was very well respected. And whenever he grew old and finally got to the point that he had to be put in a facility because he couldn't even function anymore, I can remember one time too, I think if I remember correctly, our two oldest girls were married at that time, or at least one of them was for sure, maybe both of them, I think. In fact, I'm pretty sure that they both were. One day we got together and decided that we were going to all go and sing to Granddaddy. Now, we didn't know if he was going to be able to hear us or not, because at that time he was curled up in a fetal position in the bed and had been for some period of time. And so we went into the room and we began talking to him, and sometimes he would understand a little of what you said and sometimes he didn't, and sometimes you didn't know. And so the girls all gathered around, and we all gathered around his bed and asked him, "Granddaddy, is there any song that you would like to hear? And would you like to guess what he said?" "Jesus loves me." And so we gathered around his bed, and with tears in our eyes, we sang that song. And you think about, I've thought a lot since that time about all the Bible knowledge that that man had. He had taught, I suppose, safely, we could say hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of classes. It had been the church and the Lord had been his life, the focal point of his life, all of his life. It comes down to the point where his memory is almost completely gone, but there's one something left. "Jesus loves me, this I know." And when you really boil it down, that we learned a long, long time ago, most of us in Sunday school somewhere, or Bible class if you prefer, most of us learned that a long time ago. And it still has the most profound impact on our lives of anything else that we've ever known in our life. And it is the basis of our hope. I can recall back in the days when I was a child, we always had a Bible verse to memorize for Bible class. And I've told some of you this story before, so it'll be redundant to some of you, but I was about, 5 years old. Maybe six, I don't think so, but probably 5 years old. And I was a cute little fella. I know, because my mama told me I was. And she dressed me up because this is the first memory verse that I can remember reciting, and you probably know what it was, the 23rd Psalm. And it took me a while to get that down, and I said it, repeated it over and over and over and over and over, and my mom worked with me for a long time to get me to be able to recite that. And so my time came up, and she put a little white shirt on me and a little bow tie and suspenders, and, you know, I mean, I was dressed to the nines. And the Bible class teacher had us stand up on the table and recite it. And I was excited about it. I was ready because I knew it. I knew it. I felt backwards and forward. And so I began, and it just all came out just perfectly until I got right to the end. And then, you know, I was in that home stretch, and I was already feeling good about the fact that I had gotten it all. And I said, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And everybody in the class just died laughing, and I just collapsed crying because I couldn't believe that I had done that. And it just broke my heart. And I wanted to run out, but I don't remember all that happened after that. But Anyway, those are good memories. The things that I was taught by the ladies, particularly at this time in my life in Bible class, and there are a lot of you out here that are Bible class teachers, and sometimes you just wonder if anything that you say sticks. But the answer is yes, it does. The really important lessons, the most important lessons in life are the ones that you're teaching right now. And the third thing that I learned in Sunday school was that the answer to every question and every problem in life is found either in Jesus or in God. Every single one of them. Making decisions in every area of our life comes down to asking one simple question. What does God say about this? And when you know that, you have the answer. You have to apply it accurately, but you have your answer when you know what God said about it. And then a last thing, a fourth thing is that there are consequences for doing what is right, and they are often harsh. And we all realize that because we've done some things, we've made some decisions in our life that weren't popular, and we've stood at times when we were felt like we were standing alone, and we paid some consequences for it. And sometimes maybe we get to feeling a little bit proud of that, and maybe we get a little bit out of sync, because it occurred to me sometime later. I didn't know this in Bible class, but I learned the first part, but the second part came a little later, when I realized that there are also consequences for doing what is wrong. And those consequences are always harsher than the consequences for doing what is right. The problem is you don't always feel those consequences immediately. When you do what's right, you almost always feel some consequences immediately. But when you do something that's wrong, sometimes it's some time later before you really feel the consequences of it. But there are consequences. There will most definitely be consequences for every decision you make in life. And so it strikes me that if there are consequences, which are often harsh, for either doing right or doing wrong, I think I'll try to do right. How about you? Really? I mean, I think that some things in life are really that simple. And so we make some decisions in our life. Tell me the story of Jesus. It's a simple, sweet story. Tell it to your children. Tell it to your friends. Tell it to the world. And keep on telling it to yourself. Because even for those who have heard it many times, we crave to hear that story, the story that never gets old. And let's keep telling it to each other. Our God is eternally righteous. God is love. The answer to every problem in life, every situation in life, can either be found in God or in Jesus. By asking, what does God have to say about this? There are consequences for actions, both right and wrong. Let's make sure in our lives, to the very best of our ability, that the consequences that we pay are consequences for doing what's right while we stand in sin.